Certainly glad to see everyone here this morning. Today is the Lord's Day, and it's always a blessing to be able to come and worship, to sing songs of praise, to sing hymns, to pray, and to understand God, His love for us, a little bit more. We have quite a bit of scripture here. Today's topic is God's plan. And God's plan is God's plan of salvation. If you have a Bible, open up to Isaiah 53. And we're going to begin off reading the same thing that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip came to him and said, "What are you reading?" And Isaiah is a prophet, and he was told what to write down, and he wrote this down years and years before Philip ever was able to proclaim this. And we know that people all over the world, they use excuses, they use crooked reasonings to distort God's word and to run from His plan. And God's plan is really perfect. It's perfectly set out for us. And it's laid out in a way that it's really wonderful when you go through it and you look at the steps, what you do, what you need, and how to go about it. And it's a super blessing for us to be able to go through this. Let's start off and let's read verse 7 through 12 in Isaiah. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, and he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." This is where it comes in, the number one step, the first step that you got to do, and that is to hear the message, hear the word. And the word "hear," to understand that, means to be told or informed of. If you turn over to Luke, and Luke in chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. Let's just start in 46. This is the wise and the foolish builder. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" He says, and this is Jesus, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." It's pretty simple. He gave us that instruction, he gave us the word. He told us what to do. He said, "Listen to me. I'm in charge. Listen and hear what I tell you." If you look over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, Romans 10 and 14, you ask yourself, well, how can I understand this? We read Isaiah earlier, and we're like, well, you know, if I don't know that they're talking about God, how am I going to understand that this is Jesus Christ that they're referring to here? How will I understand this? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, then how then can they call on the name that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You must hear the word first, but we have to be able to teach the word. So we also can put up there to the ones that have heard the word, teach the word up there. So when we're going through these lessons, we got to remember that no matter if you've heard it or not, we're going back over it to understand it, to look at it, so that we're able to go out and distribute it to someone that might be in need of it. If you'll turn over to Acts, we talked about this Ethiopian eunuch. It's in Acts chapter 8, and it starts in verse 30. And this eunuch, he was in Jerusalem. He went there to worship, and he was on his way back to Egypt. And an angel of the Lord came to Philip, and he said, go get on this road over here, and I want you to stop. You're going to see this guy here, and I want you to stop him and help him out if he needs some help. Verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says to him, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. And I want y'all to think back what we just read. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told them the good news about Jesus. You see, Philip didn't understand. Or the Ethiopian eunuch didn't understand. And Philip was there to help him out. Well, we was talking about being able to teach the word to others that haven't heard the word. So if you haven't heard it, you need to be able to understand it. So that's some of our jobs, is to teach the word to others. And it's always important to take whatever opportunity that we have in our lives to make sure and be there as Philip was for him. That's a responsibility of ours, and we need to take pride in that and honor in that and accept that we can do that. Now, step two is the next step into this, and it's believe. Now, the word that we heard earlier, that Jesus is our Savior, and we read that in Isaiah. He came and He died so that we could be forgiven of our sins. So if we understand that, then we have to believe in the word, second of all. And that believe is to trust, to have faith, confidence that everything that you have heard is to be true. And you got to really understand it, and you know it, that this is a fact for sure. Now, Jeff read to us a while ago in his communion, he read in John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that He has sent. Do we understand that? Luke 1, 30 and 31. Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that you have found favor with God. And you will be with child, and you're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. And if you skip down into verse 35... it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the one born of you will be called the Son of God. In Matthew 1, in verse 25, Joseph was pledged to marry Jesus. Jesus' mother, I'm sorry. And Joseph was going to divorce her quietly because he didn't want her to be represented bad. He didn't want her to be sought out and seen as someone who slept around, is, I guess, an easy way to put it. So he wanted to make it easy on her, painless. And he came to also by the angel. And the angel told him, said, this is what's going to happen. And I want you to understand that you are going to father this child. And you are going to continue to marry her. And in verse 25, it's really important that we understand this, that Mary was a virgin, and Joseph says, and Joseph did not lay with her. It means that this child that was born is from God. It did not come from Joseph. There's no way that it did, because Scripture is true. And the truth is that Joseph said, okay, and he did not have any union with her until she had Jesus. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Flip back over to Mark, if you would. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said to them, go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's important for us to understand. Not only the part of whoever believes, but also understand that whoever does not believe will be condemned. You're going to face judgment. We need to understand that. We need to put that into our lives, into our practice of who we are, how we're going to conduct ourselves. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. And even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him, and you're filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Even though you haven't seen Him, you believe in Him. And you're filled with this joy because of this. This is an awesome feeling to have. 1 John 5:5, who is it that overcomes the world? Does everybody remember this scripture? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That was step two. Now we're going into step three. You must repent. You must repent. That's step three into this. And repent is omission. With deep remorse or regret, you can say. You're expressing your wrongdoings, your sin. That's what repenting is. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 3, and if you look also in verse 5, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all perish. Unless you repent, you will all perish. So it's important to repent, isn't it? Let's turn over to Acts. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's look in chapter 17 in Acts, verse 30. Acts 17 in verse 30. In the past, well, let's go back up to 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. And this is Jesus Christ. that we are speaking of right here. In Acts 26 and 20, Paul preached, they should all repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. You see, we have to turn our lives over to God at this moment. When this takes place in this repentance, we must turn our lives over to God. And by doing that, you are putting God first and foremost in your life. And once this takes place, that you put God first and you repent, and you're acknowledging that you can't do it by yourself, then comes step four. And step four is to confess. To confess is to declare faith in Jesus, admit and acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son, and that He did come, and He lived, and He died. When you think about this, and you think about this step four, when you're ready to confess, you really need to think about how Jesus was born. So Jesus came into the world as a baby. So God placed Himself into the world as a baby, had Himself to be born in a manger. That's a feed trough is what that is. So He was in a barn. He was laid there. So He puts Himself humbled as a child and as low as can be. So when we think of God, we think of this high place. And He's the Most High, and He's above all, and He is all. And you think of Him as kingly riches and all of this great stuff. But yet He puts Himself into the world to start off in a feed trough. That's something. So when we look at this and we say, well, the angel came and He spoke to the mother. She said, what? Well, I don't know about this. How can this be? And then they said, this is the God has showed favor to you. And she said, okay, then let it be. If that's what God wants, then that's what's going to happen. Let it be. And Joseph done the same thing. So now we're here to confess. And we're going to confess that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. If you turn over to Romans in chapter 10, Romans in chapter 10 in verse 9 and 10, we'll read that scripture. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, people try to cross over on you and say, well, what about deaf people? They can't confess with their mouth. Or what about people that can't talk? They can't, if they can't hear, how can they understand it? Or if they can't talk, how can they confess it with their mouth? You can write, if you can understand and you can hear, if you can see with your eyes and you're able to be taught, you can confess and you can understand it. God knows everyone from the time of birth. He knows when you're in your mother's womb, and He knew Jesus when He was in His mother's womb. And John the Baptist knew Him also, because when Jesus' mother came and told Elizabeth, her cousin, that she was pregnant, the baby jumped inside of her because of the Lord's presence. Now, isn't that something spectacular to understand and know? We're told in Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus lived and He died and He was buried and that He was resurrected to take away our sins and put them on His shoulders. In Matthew 10 and 32, we're told, whoever acknowledges Me before men, I will acknowledge him before My Father in heaven. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever acknowledges Me before men, I will acknowledge him before My Father in heaven. And in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we must get up in front of witnesses and confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that He did live and He did die. He came to this earth to save us, not to condemn us. Very important. Next step is step five. And this one is baptize, to be baptized. And baptize means to immerse yourself. Not sprinkle, not anything else, immersion. And everything that we've looked at here, this is a Greek, is from the Greek and the Hebrew. And the definitions of them come from Greek and Hebrew, which the scripture was written down. To be immersed is what we're told. Now, we was reading earlier in Acts, in chapter 8, if y'all want to turn back to that, you remember the Ethiopian and Philip that was speaking? We stopped in verse 35 when Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and he told the good news about Jesus. Let's read 36 through 38. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Why shouldn't I stop? There's water. He knew it. So when he heard the word, he followed the steps, didn't he? So he's at step five already. It didn't take long for this eunuch to understand God's power, God's plan, God's grace, and God's love for us. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 and 22. This water symbolizes baptism. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is in heaven at God's right hand. That is important for us to know. This water of this baptism is not just something that removes dirt from us, is it? It's removing the old you and turning yourself to a new you. Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And in Acts 22 and 16, Ananias said to Saul, which became the Apostle Paul, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins, calling on His name, Jesus." Get up and be baptized. So, it's one of those situations. I'll tell you, a guy came to my house and he said, I want to read you some scripture. Will you be willing to? And this is the old Russell, okay? I said, "Man, I got to work and I don't get off till late." He said, "What time will you get home?" I said, "About 2 o'clock in the morning." He said, "All right, will you have time to study tonight at 2? I said, "Yeah, sure." And he was at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. And we sat up till 5 reading Scripture. And we read, and he said, "Can I come back again?" I said, "Yeah, because I was kind of interested in it." He said, "What time you want me to come back?" I said, "I bet I can get off at 11 tomorrow." Because I was tired that day of working. And he went to work and did the same thing I did. He came back the next night at 11. And then it dropped down to where he started coming at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock before it was all said and done. We'd done this for 6 weeks. He came to my house and he came like every day that he could, every day that I was available and he was ready. And I remember it like it was yesterday. So we started studying about 6 o'clock that night. And when we got down to where we're at right here, he said, "What's stopping you?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "It's late though, man. It's 11:30 at night." He said, "Don't matter." He got on the phone, he called people, and there was about 20 people that showed up here. I showed right up here at 11:30, nearly 12 o'clock. I was baptized right about 12 o'clock midnight, right there in that, right here. It doesn't matter. He's like, "Well, what are we waiting for then?" It's the same thing as this right here. It's important for us not to wait because we don't know when our time is going to be done. It's important for us to understand this. So them five steps are normally where it stops. But I added one for us today because it's not over at that. It doesn't quit at being baptized. Tonight in our lesson tonight that we're going to have is it biblical? Is it biblical once saved, always saved? I've been saved. I can do anything I want to now. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Because God loved me enough that He sent His Son for me, and I've been saved. I've been redeemed. We're going to look into that deep and see if it's scriptural. If it's not scriptural, then it's not true. And we have to remain faithful. That's step number six. Remain faithful. And to remain faithful, the word faithful is devoted, loyal, and true. So we got to remain faithful to the truth. We have to be loyal to our Lord and Savior. And we have to be devoted to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was devoted to us. You read in Isaiah to start with where he said the Lord crushed him. He did what? God crushed his own son for me? The guy that was running and was like, yeah, I bet this guy won't show up at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. He did. And I was amazed. I went, well, he really wanted to teach me something, so I'm going to sit up and listen to him. We have to be willing to be able to distribute this word out as I was available to the word. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you. Did y'all know that? It is God who works in you. Philippians 3:17, so join with others in following my example. Take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. See, we have to look to our peers. Look to who is doing God's will, His work. And we acknowledge that and we see that. And we work with that. Because we have to remain faithful. Philippians 2:14 and 16. We're told to do everything without complaining, without arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. Without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, which you may shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, that I may boast on the day of that I did not run or labor for nothing. Now, this is Paul that states this, and Paul is in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus should be able to boast on your account, on my account, that He did not suffer and labor for nothing. It's important to finish this out. Christ died for you and me so that we could have eternal life with Him. So we read these scriptures today. We got to believe. We got to repent. We got to confess. We got to be baptized into Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And that death, burial, and resurrection is super important. Today, we have an opportunity. So the first step that we heard today, we need to go back over it real quick. We must hear the word. If we can't understand, we should search for answers. I tell the kids in class all the time, y'all may get mad at me for this, you're only dumb if you don't ask. You're a dummy if you won't ask a question. Ask a question if you don't know. Ask. Don't be scared. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Not understanding and wanting to know more. The eunuch wasn't afraid to ask, and he wasn't scared to ask, and he wasn't embarrassed at all when he asked Philip to preach to him, teach him. Show me, please. I want to know. Step two, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Step three, admit that you are not in control, that you need Jesus' help, that you're willing to put God first in your life. Step four, to confess. That you stand in front of witnesses and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. He lived and died and was buried and resurrected for you. Step five, to be baptized into Christ's death. When you're baptized into this, this is going under, and it represents His death. And the burial represents the tomb. So when you're going under, you're going under alive, this old self, and you're dead to that once you go under. And once you come back out, then you are alive, a new person. And this new self that you put on is Christ, because Christ no longer is away from you. You're together with Him then. It's important for us to understand that. So you've been cleansed of all of the sin that's away from you. And then step six is to remain faithful and remain true. So we go back to Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that we may become blameless and pure children of God without any faults at all. So that we understand that Jesus didn't come, He didn't live, He didn't suffer and die for us for no reason at all. It's important to hold firm to this and hold tight to it. If you've heard the word today, believe it, understand it, and you want to confess, come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.